So hi, hello again. Welcome to the London 2 room. This room is dedicated to storage. The first speaker is Georg Schönberg, and he works for Thomas Quinn AG. So please welcome Georg Schönberg.
Okay, so hello everybody. I welcome you to the talk about SSD and HDD performance testing with TKPerf. My name is Georg Schönberger and I'm working at the research and development department from the Thomas Quinn AG. The last year I had a talk about SSD caching. And as you can see, I haven't stopped my performance tests. And so today I'm presenting my software for testing SSDs and HDDs. Well, I hope you will enjoy my talk. So let's start. I have quite a few slides, so we have to hurry up. This is just a basic overview about what my talk will be. I'm just explaining about how I will do it and what is done, and then I will go deeper into the specific performance tests. And I have a lot of pictures. I hope you like images and diagrams, so I hope I will not desperate you. Okay, so what are the main pillars of TKPerf? So SNIA is the storage association, has a test specification on how to test SSDs and on how to focus on the special requirements that has to be done if SSDs are tested. The most important part is on how to prepare the SSD so that you don't test them fresh out of the box state of the SSD, so that your performance values are much too high as you will get them if you're tested in a real application. The second main part is the flexible I/O tester software developed by Jens Axpel, the maintainer of the block I/O layer. And the third important thing are some Python scripts that are mainly starting the flexible I/O tester and generating diagrams with Python matplotlib. And I've written some scripts to carry out the test, to start them automatically, to generate some XML files with the results, and to generate the PDF report so that we can easily compare the results from different devices. And matplotlib is used to generate the required specification plots. So why we are doing it? Okay, so performance testing is mainly important for, I think, every department who is selling hardware, because we often get calls from customers, okay, which SSD should I buy, which HD should I buy, what is the fastest one, or can I buy just the cheapest one? So maybe that's not always the best solution, to buy a cheap SSD. So what is the difference to a customer device? What is the difference to a consumer device? What is the difference to a cheap SSD? And I hope that we can show this to the customers with my new software. So this is mainly the part we do it at the Thomas Quinn AG. Okay, so why is this near developing a specification for testing SSDs? Well, SSDs are different. So SSDs have much more performance at the beginning of their life cycle, and they are also influenced by the workloads that are done in the past, and there are also some transition phases when you change from random to sequential workload. So there are a lot of points that have to be thought about. Why do I use flexible O tester? Because Fio is flexible and it's actively developed. So if you're looking at the Git repo of Fio, there are nearly some check-ins every day. And there's also the chance that if you have a feature request, that it will develop in the near future. Okay, I have already talked about matplotlib. Matplotlib is quite useful. You can draw a lot of diagrams and you can easily customize your plots. And of course open source, so that's why we are here. So I hope I can get some feedback. I already have some feedbacks and I'm still open to improve my tests. So okay, this is just the first view at the PDF report of an SAT test. Well, I like doing things automatically. I'm not the one that is doing every step every day the same steps. I like it if I just can call my software and then I have my PDF report with the results. So these are just 3 points I spotted out here. So few calls are all logged in a log file, and you can just review them if you are not sure if your results are really applicable. And as I already said, there's also some XML files to regenerate the PDF report. And I'm also using restructured text. So this is plain text files to generate the PDF report. If you like, you can also convert the reports to HTML or any other stuff restructured text can be converted to. Okay, some handy tools I'm using. For information gathering and the securities, I'm using basically HDPalm. For SATA devices, for SAS devices, there's also the SCSI tools like SGFormat. And you always have to think about what device to test. So you have to include some information like serial numbers, firmware revisions, driver revisions, like if the write cache is on of the device. And all this stuff I'm finding out with HDPalm automatically, so I don't have to interact manually to insert this information about the device. And special devices require dedicated secure erases, like you have PCI cards, PCI Express cards that you can't erase with HDPalm, but I'm pointing this out later on. And okay, of course I'm using DirectIO, so you don't want to test your page cache. Okay, so this is just to point out the difference between DirectIO and not DirectIO. You see there's a huge difference between the performance of the page cache and not. Okay, and also you have to think about the number of jobs and the number of outstanding IOs you use. So we want to reach the maximum performance of the SSD. So it's not useful for us if the SSD is just not working at the highest performance. So okay, things like native command queuing, of course you have to, you can use just one process and one outstanding OS, you will never get the maximum performance of the SSD. Of course, few can do that. So we are using asynchronous IO with libIO. And you have to keep outstanding IOs in flight, and this requires DirectIO. And okay, this can be done with parallel jobs and with more IO depth. And things that we don't consider from now on is things like IO schedulers, because basically we are used the default settings from the operating system. But this is another part we would like to pick up in the future. We also would like to do tests with the OS schedulers, because we think there is a huge performance difference if you're using different OS schedulers for different devices. And it's getting more and more important if you think about that IO schedulers have been designed for HDDs and now we're using SSDs in our servers. So this is a really good point. This is just a graphic I have drawn to understand the working of some schedulers. This is just a knob scheduler, but I've also done it for the completely fair scheduler and for the deadline scheduler. Okay, so why we are thinking about IO depth? Because it matters. So as you can see, the performance with IO depths of 1 or 4 is not driving the SSD to maximum performance. So you have to use number of processes and IO depth. You got an IO queue of nearly 32 outstanding IOs that you get the maximum performance. So this is an Intel 520 SSD with compressible data. It's just a nice diagram to have. Okay, so now some slides about the SNIA specification. So SNIA is working on thin synthetic tests. So it's not an application test. If you want application-based tests, you have to use software like Block Replay or any other application-driven tests. So we are driving the SSD to the edge. Like, we want to have a corner case behavior, because we want to compare several devices and we want to know when is the device coming to its edges. Just to keep in mind, it is not an application-driven test. some new words you will find later on in my talk. This is a secure race, we have already heard. So we want to delete all data on the device at the beginning of the test. This is normally done with HDPalm or SG format. For PCI devices, it's individually. And we are also focusing on independent reconditioning. So we write two times the device with 128 kilobytes per second sequential writes, just to have a steady state at the beginning, to have a baseline where we can start. So we want to work against the fresh out of the box state, and we want to limit the effects of past workloads. And there's also a transition phase from random to sequential workload that we can work against with independent preconditioning. So this is done before every test, before we start. You would also find some notes about workloads. So we are talking about random and sequential workloads, and also about mixed workloads. So if you find some numbers like here with 95 and 5, then it's always a mixed workload with 95% read and 5% write. Just to keep in mind that this is a notation for a mixed workload. And we also got a steady state, and the steady state had always a dependent variable. This variable is pointing out when the SSD is in a stable state. So like for IOPS, this dependent variable is random writes for 4K, and this variable states out, okay, now the SSD is in a stable state, you can use the past rounds for calculating the measurement variables. Okay, so there has been a lot of talking about steady state, and this is just a verification plot on how to prove that the SSD is stable. As you can see, the blue points are the measurement points in the rounds. The red line is a best fit line, a best fit regression line. So this line is predicting where will the next measurement point will be, and the slope of this. The slope of this line is also an indicator if the SSD is stable or not. So the slope must be in a particular range that you can say, okay, the SSD is stable. And the spotted lines is the maximum range for the difference between the minimum and the maximum values. So okay, as you can see in the round from 2 to 6, this SSD has got stable. So this is an Intel SSD, an Enterprise 3700 SSD. So, and this is quite stable. And for every test, you have this verification plot so that you have a proof that your SSD is stable. Okay, so this is a quite important slide. This just points out what variables and what workloads you have in the several tests. So I already talked about IOPS. Oh, sorry. Here are the mixed workloads for IOPS. The workloads for throughput, the workloads for write saturation, and the workloads for latency, and also the dependent variable which states out that the SSD is stable. Okay, so if you want to know which tests are carried out, then basically you come back to this slide. This is just an good overview. Okay, so starting with IOPS. So IOPS is basically a random workload. It is their number for SSDs today. So IOs per second are present in every SSD test, and basically the variable that states that the SSD is stable are 4K random writes, and here is just a short pseudocode from the test. So we're starting with a secure race, then the independent preconditioning, and then we test every round, is the SSD stable, and if not, we're carrying on with the rounds. And then you have all these block sizes, and you carry out pure random workload for 1 minute, then taking these measurement points, and just, so if you come back to this slide. As you can see, from round to six, this SSD got stable, and you're doing this random workload in every round for 1 minute for all the block sizes and for all the workloads. Okay, so what is a good number of IOPS? I don't know, does anyone know how many IOPS and traditional HDD can reach? Just a number. 200, 300, okay, that's good. I don't know, this is 100,000, what? Okay, so if you look here, this is a PCI Express accelerator card, so from SDAC, we sell it also. And this is a quite good number. As you can see, for read, there are 93,000 IOPS. Like, this is quite good comparing to a traditional HDD. And this is a measurement plot from all around, so the SSD it got stable. And for writing, this is nearly 40,000 IOPS, so this is quite a good number, as you can see here. Sorry. Okay, so maybe I skip this slide later on. So, okay, as it has already been said, the red line is a traditional HDD, and the blue line is an SSD. We have also adopted the ideas of this NIR specification to the additional HDDs, and we are splitting HDDs in several parts, like in 128 parts, and we are measuring in every part of this device, we are measuring the IOPS. So this is a diagram from the outer to the inner side of an HDD, and in every part of it we are testing IOPS. So it's quite a good diagram to see how the HDD is behaving from the outer to the inner side. Okay, so this is another required diagram we have to plot in the specification. This is a convergence plot, and the convergence plot shows how the SSD develops in the round. So this is always starting from round zero until the SSD got stable. As we have seen before, the SSD got stable from round 2 to round 6, and so the round 0 and round 1 are not included in the measurement plots. So because here it is relatively unstable, as you can see, the performance is still increasing a lot in the first two rounds, so we just take the measurement from round 2 to 6. And okay, so basically this is a 3D measurement plot. And here you can see this is a good enterprise SSD because it is not dropping too far from reading to writing. Okay, so here it starts with reading and at the end it's writing. And so this is a good curve for an enterprise SSD, and these plots are really nice to compare different devices. Okay, so now a sequential workload. Throughput is not as important as IOPS for SSDs. Some people may say, okay, throughput is also a good number to compare several devices, and the number for throughput is always megabytes per second. Some people say also streaming I/O for throughput, and the interesting block sizes are mostly 1 megabyte or 0.5 megabyte, and the smaller are commonly for IOPS. There's again a convergence plot to see how the SSD developed over the rounds, and also a measurement plot for an SSD, and this is quite good for a SAS-6G device, like reaching the 500 megabyte per second. The blue one is for reading and the green one is for writing. Okay, this is a nice picture for HDDs. Like you see, the throughput is quite higher at the outer side of the HDD, like at the inner side of the HDD. And this is for block sizes of 1 megabyte. For block sizes of 4K, it doesn't really matter if it's at the outer or the inner side. Okay, so this is basically an interesting test, a write saturation test. You are continuously writing at the device. Okay, so this is nice. So one of these two is the enterprise SSD. Okay. It's not as hard. Okay. Okay, the left one. Okay. So the left one is quite stable. The right one is a consumer SSD, it's the Intel 520 SSD. And so the controller has some problems with continuously writing to it. So this is a write saturation test showing this behavior. Okay, latency. I'm not quite a latency specialist. This is sometimes it's really the results are new to me. And what is important, that jobs and threads are set to 1. So you can't do latency tests with several processes and several I/O devs if you want to compare the latency. So this is always set for 1 process and 1 outstanding I/O for latency tests. And okay, so this is a latency measurement plot for an SSD and a PCI card, and they have quite good latency, so it's really good to compare. and also the measurement plots in 3D for latency. So there's still room to improvement for latency. It's also not clear in the flexible IO test always what is maximum and average latency are referred to. Okay, so this is just a nice sentence I've written down here. Yes, okay, so we always have to know that there are unknown unknowns. So I'm quite sure that I'm not doing all the things right, but I keep in mind that there are things that I don't know. So I always refer to this sentence if people are asking me if I'm doing things right. Well, I can't say if I'm doing all the stuff right. If you have some improvements for me, just tell me that and I will try to fix it. Or if you find some errors, just tell me that. Okay, so you're coming to the end of the talk. If you have questions, just ask me, or later on, or come to our booth, or visit our wiki and write us an email. Okay, so I'm finished.
So thanks again for the talk. Are there any people who have questions? Can you come to the microphone?
Thanks for the talk. Thank you. I was wondering, will you use TK-PERF before delivering the server? So basically use it to make sure that what you deliver meets some certain baseline. Mm-hmm.
What is the question again?
Well, this is the way I understood it. This is to find out when you have new hardware.
Yes.
To find out what it performs, so you can tell your customers what they should buy.
Yes.
But do you intend to use it to make sure that what you deliver, that the server you send out, that it actually has the performance that you think it should? Like writing it once and then giving it to the customer saying yes, actually your server has the performance metrics that they expected.
Okay, so maybe this is a good idea, but for now we are not doing it this way. We are just wanting to test the device on its own. So I have my own performance test server, and all these tests have been done on the same server with the same operating system. So it's just to give the customer a hint what kind of device will the service needs, but maybe it's a good point to use this software to also prove that the server is as fast as the customer wishes to. But for now, we're not doing it this way.
Okay. Maybe just an additional info for that. When the servers are delivered, for example, for hard drives, there's a short performance test. But when you do those longer tests, you also do a lot of writes to the device. So depending on how long it takes until the SSD reaches the steady state, it can take many, many terabytes to write on the SSD. So it wouldn't be the best idea to put it on every SSD that gets delivered out, because otherwise you have a lot of write endurance already lost when you got the new server. So that's the reason for that.
Okay, so just to have to point out some numbers. The test for the SSD Intel 3700 lasted about 24 hours. The test for the HDD with 4 terabyte endured for like about 1 week. So there's a lot of things to write to the device also.
My question is related to actually evaluating the effects of trimming the SSD by talking about people doing some style of probably of the embedded device where you essentially assume that it can write directly to any of the blocks of the device. What happens if you trim it down to the point of writing application? Do you have anything planned to run tests on that regard that actually helps us processing discards or
That's a good question. So there are always a lot of stuff to develop. So from now we started without any file systems. But we have also kept in mind to do tests with different file system, and then we would like to include things like trim or other stuff. And we also would like to test RAID caches, RAID devices, RAID controllers, and RAID caching systems like you can buy with LSI or Adaptec. But up to now, we are not thinking about. We have not thought about trim or other stuff that is influencing our stuff, but maybe we should think about the different file systems also. There are also specific file systems for SSDs, but then I think this is a lot of work to do, but because you just can't say, okay, I have this test software, put some file system on it, and then run the test again. There's so much configuration and other stuff you have to think about. Okay.
Does the trimming actually provide you the advantages which it claims to provide when you are able to cache and so on? If I may, if you would have some maybe not so large numbers already when you use a different hyperspectral, like not turning it off altogether with the normal
kind of. Okay, so I have not tested yet with other schedulers like the CFQ scheduler. But I have some interesting numbers from tests under CentOS from a partner of us, and it showed me that CentOS default settings with its scheduler are quite better than the Ubuntu ones. So there's still room for improvement, there's still room for doing more tests, and maybe I can pick up the scheduler topic at the next few months or the next half of the year, and we have already planned it on our project list. So this is quite a good point, because it's easily to set up, and if it brings a lot of performance improvement, then we can give some hints to our customers or write it down to a wiki what you can achieve with scheduler settings. So until now, I don't have any numbers with knob scheduler or deadline scheduler. It's just the default settings under Ubuntu. But I can say that the CentOS numbers are a little bit better with a PCI Express card. So as I said at the beginning, this is a synthetic test. So for application tests, you also have to keep in mind that schedulers want to be fair to all applications. So you can't just say, okay, this is a high-performance application, and it gets all the resources of my storage device. Maybe it's easy to say, okay, just use the knob scheduler. But if there is a real-world application, and other applications are starving from I/O requests, then it's not good. So maybe I/O scheduler tests are not as simple as this might seem at the beginning. So I think it's hard work to do.
Right. Thanks, Gero, for the talk. Thanks to the audience for the questions. In a few moments' time, we'll go on with the next session. It will be about real world load testing. So, thanks again for Gero for the talk.